Vanessa Martinez, and this is Friends with Friends, the podcast where we explore all 236 episodes of the TV show Friends, one episode at a time. I'm joined by my friend Jackie. Say hi.
Yes. Hi, I'm Jackie Rodriguez. I love the show.
And I'm Vanessa. I'm the newbie. I have never seen Friends, and I'm pretty excited to be where we are because we are pretty much more than halfway through the series. More than halfway, or we're halfway through the series, I guess we could say. I don't know about more than halfway.
Not more, but halfway.
Halfway. So cool. So we're on the 100 and I can't even say this, 101st episode of the series, and it's called The One Where Phoebe Hates PBS, which premiered on October 15th, 1998 with 24.1 million viewers. Jackie, tell us what happens.
Yes, so Ross tries to make up with Emily on one big condition that Ross actually considers, and the fate of the relationship is decided. Joey thinks he's hosting a telethon on PBS and also points out there's no selfless good deed, so Phoebe goes on a mission to prove him wrong. So you want to start with the PBS stuff?
Yeah, so let's start there. I personally always watched PBS when I was younger. My favorite shows were Arthur and The Puzzle Place. I don't know. I mean, it's great Joey's doing a telethon on PBS, but Phoebe hates PBS.
I know. I actually hate PBS. And she would be the one who will like love PBS, but I didn't watch PBS a lot when I was younger. I don't feel like I watched Sesame Street or anything like that. But the reason why she hates it is because she says when her mother died, like she sent a letter to them and then she got a keychain back. And at that time she's like, I was homeless living in a box. I didn't have any keys because like she said that they were so nice to me when I was young because she would watch Sesame Street or something. But you know, when she just got the keychain, she was like disappointed in them. So therefore she hates them.
Yeah. I mean, that is a sucky thing. Cause especially when they're kids, you know, you have to cater to all the kids. So it's like, I don't know, when you ask Santa for a gift and you don't get it, but sometimes it happens, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's also funny in this episode that Phoebe finds out Santa doesn't exist.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I just flicked my hair. I was going to say that. I was like, she is in her 20s and she doesn't know that Santa doesn't exist. But again, because Phoebe is in her own ethereal world, that she didn't realize it, you know, but it is funny too that like, Joey. So it's weird that like she kind of has all these perceptions of these things, Santa Claus, PBS, and that there's no selfless good deed because Joey points that out, saying that you can't have a good deed. Every good deed that you do makes you feel good. So there's no selfless good deed. And I thought, oh, that's true. It's true. So Phoebe goes on a mission to try to find one. First, she lets a bee stinger, and then she actually donates to PBS. And it actually gets Joey on TV. So now it ruins the whole thing because she feels good about Joey getting on TV.
Yeah. I thought that was funny too, just because you see kind of like how childish she kind of still is.
Yes.
And also with the whole bee sting, you know, she finds out bees die.
Yeah.
You know, that was a fail in that. And I actually looked at that whole bee thing. So it's actually, let's talk about this for a little bit, which I thought was interesting. I started like researching like if bees really die. And it's true because when they try to pull out the stinger, this is according to PBS actually, News Hour. They say, and I quote, as a bee tries to pull out the stinger, it ruptures its lower abdomen, leaving the stinger embedded, pulling out inside a string of digestive materials, muscles, glands, and a venom sac. And that results in just a big hole in their abdomen. So they can't live without it, so they die. It's like they're bleeding to death. That's what PBS was saying. So it's pretty sad. Aww. So anyways, so it's a tragic death that they have to, you know, that happens. But I like the whole thing, the Phoebe storyline, and also Joey trying to get on TV. You know, he thinks he's going to be the host of this event. But then when he gets there, he finds out he's just going to be answering phones. And he's not going to be in front of the camera. He's just off to the side.
Yeah, I know, right? And then he's all dressed in a tux and looks so nice. And then he gets there, and then Gary Collins is actually the host. So Gary Collins, I didn't know who he was until I researched who he was, because when I was watching this, I'm like, I don't know, because he's an older man and we're a little too young for that. This is where Jason would come in and tell us.
Yeah, right.
But Gary Collins is actually an accomplished actor in daytime and movie roles. He's won a daytime Emmy. He also had his own show called Our Magazine from 1980 to 1989. And he also co-hosted The Home Show from 1989 to 1994. So he's an accredited host. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, you can't just have some actor be a host, because we've seen that in our line of work. We've seen actors try to be hosts, and you know, I've seen working with them that it's a little unnatural. Like, being a host is a whole different talent than acting. So I don't think Joey would have been a good fit anyways. So they, you know, obviously had Gary Collins, who has his own talk shows and all that good stuff. So I think that's obviously the logical choice.
But Joey was Dr. Drake or Maury. Like, nobody knows that he was Dr. Drake or Maury. I thought that was funny that he tried to swing that by saying, you know, he's a known actor. He should be the host.
I thought
that was funny. I also thought it was hilarious when he, you know, fights with a guy to try to be on TV, another person answering the phones. And as the host is actually doing his job, you see them in the background, like, fighting it out, and they actually get down to the floor. So I thought that was pretty funny as well.
Yes. Like, it's that old school comedy that, you know, that something's going on in the background while your attention is, you know what I mean? Inside. Yeah. That was good too. It was funny.
Yeah. I liked that whole thing too. Another thing in this episode that happened was, the whole Emily and Ross, you know, situation. Emily finally talks to Ross after Ross is trying to get a hold of her for so long. And it's, you know, Emily says she misses him too. And so she wants him to move to London, but he can't go without Ben.
So
she says, okay, I'll go, but under one condition. And that condition is that he cuts off his friendship with Rachel.
Yes, I know. And I think it's very selfish of her to do that. But I also kind of see that, like, that is something that she would be like, it's your husband, it's your wife, you know, but it's such a tough decision for Ross. I don't envy him in this, but it's selfish in Emily's sense. But then you're like, but wait, you kind of see that, because she's an outsider coming in. And if, you know, you want to be respectful to your spouse, you know, and do that. So I don't envy his decision.
Yeah, it's tough, because I agree with you. It's like, they've been friends forever, but he also did say her name at a wedding. And I think if he didn't do that, things would be different. They wouldn't have to give up friendships. They would be happily married. You know, none of this, of course, wouldn't happen, and it did. And so this condition is hurtful for Ross, but like you said, he has to, you know, make his wife happy or his spouse happy.
And what does he eventually decide? And with the help of Rachel too. So he actually makes two decisions. When he's, you know, trying to talk to his friends about it, they still don't know. And they're like us. We're like, oh, I don't envy this decision. They like advise him, like, but it's your spouse or it's your wife, but Rachel's your like one of your best friends. And then Rachel is the one who actually tells Ross, hey, you should do whatever she needs you to do. And so he does. So then Rachel gives him the advice, and then he makes that decision. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. And Rachel doesn't know what the condition is. She just knows that it's bothering Ross a lot. So that's when she offers him the advice. So
yeah,
it's kind of nice in a way to see Rachel, you know, pushing for the relationship, even though she kind of did tell him how she felt about him, even though it was a joke per se, but it's nice to see that she's still rooting for her friend in the marriage.
Yeah. And supporting him. And it shows you where their friendship is too, that they've moved past like all that other stuff. We were on a break and everything else. Like, she doesn't hold any ill will towards him. She just wants him to be happy. So it's good.
Yeah. I liked it too. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Monica and Rachel. Rachel finds out she is dating someone from work.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And we're back. And one thing I really liked also about this episode was how Chandler walks into his apartment and catches the ducks watching the cooking channel.
Yes, and they're cooking duck.
Yeah. And Chandler says, I told you not to watch the cooking channel. Like, you know, with a kid watching a bad TV show, which in this case, it was an animal watching a horrible TV show.
Yeah, it was funny. I thought that was really sweet. And the way he runs and turns it off, this is very animated of, you know, Matthew Perry to do it.
Yeah. And then also when that scene happened, you see on the Magna Doodle that Evil Joy was written on the the board, and that's in reference to what Phoebe described Joey as after he told her that Santa Claus doesn't exist.
Yeah,
you know, because it's an evil thing to do.
Evil thing to do to a believer.
Yes, but good. Another thing that happened in this episode was Rachel walks in and she sees Monica, you know, getting ready for, you know, something, you know, to happen. And Monica has to play it off. And so she tells Rachel that she's dating a waiter from her work.
Yes. Yes. It's like a secret boyfriend. And then we find out later that Monica actually told Rachel it's the best sex she's ever had. And then unknowingly, because Rachel doesn't know it's actually Chandler, she brings it up in conversation while Chandler's in that conversation. Chandler gets all excited. Really? The best sex? Would you say this boyfriend is even better than Richard? And then, like, it puts Monica in a situation, kind of like, I guess so. And it was just silly. And I don't like Chandler the way he reacts. I think he's way too cocky about it. Uh-huh. And kind of throws it in her face. And then he gets on table and does his weird dance. And I like that Monica puts him in check later.
So. Yeah, I love that too. But it's so sweet because Chandler also tells Monica he's only the best because she made him the best.
Yes. So that's the point where it turns, because he gets all cocky and he gets all like up on the table. And then when she actually talks to him about it, she mocks him for that dance, which I thought was so good too.
Yeah. And did you hear that Janice reference when he was like, oh my God. Did you hear that?
Oh, yes. 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 That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Because then he apologizes and that's when he says, you know, you make me the best. And so,
yeah. And I mean, it was a weird position for Monica to be in because she was basically being asked to compare Chandler and Richard, you know, two different experiences.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's kind of an uncomfortable situation.
It is uncomfortable. That's what I'm saying. It's like she put him, he put her in an uncomfortable situation unknowingly, you know, to Rachel, but yeah,
it was weird. Yeah.
But, you know, they always have these things, like it's something, and then they kind of come back to each other, and the way that they talk it out is always so sweet, and you see how the relationship, you know, kind of like complements each other.
Yeah. So this episode, I feel like it didn't progress things a lot like it did the last episode in season 3. Was more of like a stagnant episode because, you know, a lot of these storylines were just one and done kind of deal, except for the Monica and Chandler storyline. I'm sure will continue on, and I'm really excited and anxious. Like every time I'm watching these episodes, I'm like, is this going to be the episode where, you know, the whole group finds out? Like, I want to know
one of the best episodes ever. The one where everybody finds out. I can't wait for you to see it because it's so funny. I have one of the quotes. I have a t-shirt with one of the quotes, and I'm gonna wear it when we do that episode.
You have to. Yeah, so I just like keep waiting to find out when it's gonna happen and everything like that, because it's so funny because you just think it's gonna happen and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah, but also I think because they're letting us into the relationship and seeing how it's building, because again, the last episode they decided they weren't just hooking up, but they really care about each other.
Yeah,
and then this episode you're seeing that it's like, okay, they're having great sex, and their reason why is because they really care about each other, so they need to get us invested into this relationship. So they're having all these little instances until then, so that's what they're going to keep doing to build it up, and that's what you're waiting for.
And the writers are doing a great job of
great it. Job. Good job, Adam Chase. Good job, Adam Chase. So yes, it was good.
Yeah. So, did you have a favorite line?
My favorite was when Phoebe realizes that her donation to PBS gets Joey on TV and it makes her feel good.
Mine was when Joey fights with the other person answering the phones at the telethon, because you just see them go at it and then they just end up being on the floor.
yeah.
So before we wrap this up, we actually have a couple of Instagram followers and messages from them. So we're going to read them off to everyone. Okay, so the first one is from Candace Ibarra. She says, you guys, in one of the previous episodes that we did, she said, you guys didn't mention Jennifer Aniston's flash dance in We're the Millers on the last podcast episode. It totally ties in with her removing her bra at that episode.
Oh, I didn't know. See, I've never seen We're the Millers.
No, I haven't either. So we learned something new every day. Thank you, Candace.
Thank you, Candace.
Another message comes from Kayla Jones. She is talking about our recap of season 4, episode 21, the one where the invitation is out, our recap episode. She, you know how we talk about where the apartment is actually at?
Yes.
She says the apartment is at the corner of Bedford and Grove. So I can't really remember what we said in that episode. I just remember us bringing it up saying one said one thing, but we see something else.
Oh, okay. So maybe the address, maybe it's not Bedford, maybe it's Grove.
Yeah.
And that's the address that they had on the invitation.
Yeah. So our final comment, this message is from Paul Newman. He says, I'm really enjoying your podcast. I was listening to another podcast, and the biggest issue with that one was they spent too much time talking about themselves and not about the episode. I appreciate that your podcasts are shorter and more succinct and detailed in regards to Friends. Your podcast, not podcast. And then he says, I think you should video record your podcast and then upload them on YouTube.
Well, come soon.
Yes, very soon.
Very soon. We're going to be on the KTLA Plus app. And so it's going to launch in March, and then it will start with season one. So you'll be able to actually view these episodes, and they're going to drop daily. So Paul, you're going to be actually seeing our faces soon on the KTLA Plus app. So even though you hear us on audio, you can see what we look like.
Yes. So that wraps it up. If you guys like this podcast, subscribe, download, leave nice comments and 5-star ratings.
Yes. Oh, and the next episode too, we actually see Chandler and Monica's relationship keep going, and they're going on a trip together. So we'll see how that goes too.
Yeah, and feel free to drop us some more messages. Where can they do that, Jackie?
Friends with Friends Podcast on Instagram.
Until next time.
Bye.